Hello and welcome to Right Through Now, the podcast that helps you stay connected with science, technology, international news, fun stuff. All right, let's begin. So NASA is supposed to hold a press briefing to preview the first Mars helicopter flights. NASA will hold a virtual media briefing at 1:30 p.m. on Tuesday, March 23rd to discuss upcoming activities for the agency's Ingenuity Mars helicopter. I have to say, that is so fucking cool that we have a helicopter roaming around on Mars somewhere. Well, it's technically a drone, but potato, potato. Okay, all right, let's begin. So, protect our ocean to solve challenges of century. Protecting the ocean has a triple whammy effect, safeguarding climate, food, and biodiversity. You know, one of the most incredible facts that we as human beings tend to ignore is that there's this whole alien world in our own backyard and we know so little about it. And we, you know, continue to pollute it with microplastics, totally affect the biodiversity of what, you know, ocean life. It's kind of sad almost to that extent. All right, so protecting the ocean has a triple whammy effect. We already read that. A global map compiled by international scientists pinpoints priority places for action to maximize benefits for people and nature. Currently, only 7% of the ocean is protected. A pledge to protect at least 30% by 2030 is gathering momentum ahead of this year's key UN Biodiversity Summit. The ocean covers 70% of the Earth, yet its importance for solving the challenges of our time has been overlooked, said a study researcher, Professor Boris Wurm of Dalhousie University of Halifax, Nova Scotia. The benefits are clear, he said. If we want to solve the three most pressing challenges of our century, biodiversity loss, climate change, and food shortages, we must protect the ocean. 100% agree with that. All right, another news. Regent honeyeater. The endangered bird that has forgotten its song. Yeah, I mean, this is one of the more sad of those news. You know, it's, again, it's human impact on stuff that was going on in the world before we were here. I mean, just, I find it hard to imagine what the planet would look like without humans. I mean, it's definitely going to be way more trees, much more of everything else. You know, every other species running around in bountifuls, and then yet here we are, one species dominating the entire face of the planet and just from the inside out affecting stuff so negatively. But I guess we have the power to also, you know, subvert some of that, to reverse that trend, just if we pay attention, I suppose. A rare songbird has become so threatened that it has started to lose its song, say scientists. The regent honeyeater, once abundant in southeastern Australia, is now listed as critically endangered. Just 300 individuals remain in the world. They don't get the chance to hang around with other honeyeaters and learn what they're supposed to sound like, explained Dr. Ross Crates. His findings are published in the UK Royal Society Journal Proceedings. Dr. Crates, a member of the Difficult Bird Research Group at the Australian National University in Canberra, is now trying to preserve the bird's song by teaching captive honeyeaters the songs of their wild relatives. That makes me sad. So, in more uplifting news, Mars might be hiding most of its old water underground, scientists say. Well, you know, as I mentioned in an earlier episode, it totally looks like the, you know, the space race is back on at 100%. I mean, that is one really exciting avenue of science right now. Because for the longest time, you know, after the whole, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, where, you know, space exploration was such an important thing, so many missions were sent out. Of course, you know, a lot of that was affected by the Cold War and issues related to, you know, I'm going to have more missiles, more satellites and than everybody else. And then, you know, the US, Russia, that competition. And I guess that's, you know, it's the new world. But at the same time, that entire aspect of, you know, being more competitive in space technologies, I think it's back on. But this stuff related to water being on Mars, you know, every couple of weeks, there's a new report, there's a new news cycle that, you know, there has been some more research, some more speculation about water being there. But I guess now we know more about Mars than we've ever known in the past, because we have so much stuff going on driving around on Mars. So a deposit of sediments called a delta, captured by NASA's Perseverance rover on March 5th at the Jezero crater. I'm looking at the image of Jezero crater. All right, let's begin. So vast amounts of ancient Martian water may have been buried beneath its surface instead of escaping into space. Scientists report in the journal Science. The findings published Tuesday may help untangle a clash of theories seeking to explain the disappearance of Mars's water, a resource that was abundant on the planet's surface billions of years ago. All right, I mean, we know for a fact that there used to be water, or at least a liquid that's extremely similar to water, on the surface of Mars because of the fact that, you know, the landscape has been shaped in exactly the same way as water would shape it. So that more or less guarantees the presence of water. But now apparently it is known that, you know, water may be stored in the form of minerals as well. Continuing through the article, through modeling and data from Mars probes, rovers, and meteorites, researchers at the California Institute of Technology found that a broad range between 30 to 99% of the Red Planet's earliest amounts of water could have vanished from the surface through a geological process called crustal hydration, where water was locked away in the rocks of Mars. Evidence of past water on Mars is written all over its rocky surface, where dried-out lake beds and rock formations illustrate a world shaped by liquids from more than 3 billion years ago. For years, scientists thought this water had mostly escaped outward into space, leaving the planet in its present very dry condition. You know, there's more, you know, theories and speculations about the origin of human life on Earth. And some, I guess, they're wild ideas, you know, already exist that, you know, it could be that a comet of some sort either, you know, brought life into planet Earth by itself, or had a primary collision with Mars and a secondary collision with Earth, bringing crucial life material to planet Earth for the first time. So, you know, this is just an interesting avenue. But at the same time, this is super important for humanity if we want to continue to exist, because sooner it's a matter of time before we get hit by some interstellar object, and that's going to be a problem. And we need to be an interplanetary species if we want to survive. And Mars is the ideal first step. All right, let's continue. So COVID antibody treatments show promise for preventing severe disease. All right. Yeah, this is, I guess there are still some people who are in denial, but at this point, that's just crazy. COVID antibody treatments. Okay, let's continue. So two clinical trials suggest that specific antibody treatments can prevent deaths and hospitalizations among people with mild or moderate COVID-19, particularly those who are at a high risk of developing severe disease. One study found that an antibody against the coronavirus developed by Vir Biotechnology in San Francisco, California, and GSK, headquartered in London, reduced the chances of hospitalization or death among participants by 85%. In another trial, a cocktail of two antibodies, I'm going to screw up this name, but Bamlanivimab. Okay, I'm going to try that one last time. Bamlanivimab and Estevimab. I've screwed that up. Both made by Eli Lilly of Indianapolis, Indiana, cut the risk of hospitalizations and death by 87%. The study reveals both announced on 10th March come from randomized, placebo-controlled, double-blind clinical trials but have not yet been published. All right, let's continue. So, green Brexit didn't happen, says Environmental Coalition. You know, there were so many different promises, and I guess it's just, to me at least, it's insane to have, you know, for Britain's entire idea of leaving the EU, it's just been a clusterfuck. But all right, let's read on. The so-called green Brexit promised by the government has not yet been delivered, a coalition of environmental groups says. In 2017, the Environmental Secretary Michael Gove promised, leaving the EU gives a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to reform agriculture and fisheries. That, he said, would allow the UK to reshape the way it cares for its land, its rivers, and its seas. In short, Mr. Gove pledged, it means a green Brexit. Over 4 years and 11 reports, an environmental coalition called Greener UK has tracked policies and concluded that improvement across the board has not been realized. Yeah, no shit. But I mean, I have to say, all things considered, at least the UK is vaccinating its people. And right now we're in the situation where the EU is, you know, continuously postponing stuff. But of course, you know, some of that is legitimate as well. But I don't know. I'm not an expert on vaccine and policy, but it seems like it's not the best solution so far. All right, well, that about wraps it up from my side. I hope to see you next time. Thank you for tuning in.